Hey brother, welcome back. Now we're going to get into some real man stuff here. The subject is struggle, and I have a first quote right off the bat here. It says, if it doesn't challenge us, it doesn't change us. And it's an important concept to realize because the idea of luxury and laziness, honestly, and the pursuit of pleasure and TGI Friday, thank God it's Friday, trying to get out of the responsibility of work leads to misery and pain. And we want to grow and be changed because in that we find amazing satisfaction, the kind of life that gives us glory, the sense that we've accomplished something magnificent in our life. So let's talk about struggle. Here come some quotes. If there are no statues built to the man who never left his couch. Please keep that in mind. At the end of your day, if you want to think about what regrets you'd have, you don't want to have the regret that you didn't risk enough, that you didn't try enough, that you shrunk away from the opportunities that came to you out of fear. And realize that intention is not a reward. You know, nobody gives out medals for good intentions. And so there are no statues built for the man who never left his couch. Stay in action and measure yourself by what you're doing, not even by your emotions, how you feel about it, what you're thinking, because that'll change. Just remember this. Even what you're feeling today, you're not going to remember a week from now. Do you remember what you had for dinner last Thursday? Do you remember how you felt at 2 in the afternoon? If you went to the gym, do you remember the misery of getting up that particular morning? Probably no. And so you realize that today's the same. If you can get out of your head the moment of discomfort and struggle and realize that, you know, in a week from now, I'm not going to remember this day. So if I have to struggle through something that's uncomfortable now, I want to be glad a week from now that I did what I did today. No statues built to men who never left their couch. Taking the easy way now is the guarantee for the hardest way later. And you know that to be true. And the others have said it this way. You're going to pay the price one way or another. Either you pay the price through discipline now, or you pay the price of regret, failure, out of shape, financial catastrophe, destroyed relationship, whatever it is later. So pay the price now. Work through the hard thing so it's easy. Do the hard thing now, the rest of your life will be easy. Do the easy thing now, the rest of your life will be hard. Struggle is your friend. You know this quote. Most men spend themselves, they spend their relationships, they spend their health in the pursuit of money, and then they spend their money trying to find themselves to create meaningful relationships and restore their health. Trust me, I know this. For 10 years, I've been a relationship and matchmaker, and I've dealt with guys who've had a lot of wealth, and they said they'd give it all up for happiness and to find somebody who would love them for who they are. So at the end of the day, ultimately realize your goal isn't money. It's deep satisfaction. It's glory, really. In fact, I'm going to do a whole talk on glory. I think that's such a great concept. And it's what we as men really live for. And the glory comes from overcoming a struggle, overcoming a fear, overcoming a challenge, overcoming obstacles, and rising up to that place where you said, I won. And it's a glorious feeling. If struggle is required for winning, then become good at it. I mean, think about it. If you have anything in your life that you realize, you know what, I got to be good at this if I'm going to win, then you work at being really good at it. If you realize that struggle is going to be required for winning to become good at it, what does that look like? Well, I'll give the example of like disciplining your body, disciplining your mind to serve your goal, serve your legacy, serve your agenda, and not serve its weak little momentary hungers and lust for immediate gratification. So, for example, Tony Robbins, even now that I think he's over 60, he has this ritual where every morning when he gets up, he goes out and he does, I think it's 7 dips and an ice bath and then a hot tub. Ice bath, hot tub. Because what he's trying to tell his body is, look, I'm the one in charge here. I don't care what you want. I don't care. I don't care you think this is cold. I don't care. I'm in charge. My mind and my decisions are in charge over the weak appetites. And so in a sense, that is the essence of what this is saying. If struggle is required, then become good at it. Become good at overcoming your weaknesses, overcoming your lazy tendencies, overcoming your tendency to avoid confrontation and conflict if it's really needed, your tendency to avoid the hard conversation, your tendency to avoid working that second effort. You know, if it's a side hustle you have or working in the evening, avoid struggle, maybe avoiding just sitting on the couch and watching TV for hours on end. You know, I mean, to this day, I think the average person still takes 4 to 6 hours of their day between an absolutely useless time for either television watching or just time on the phone staring at a screen that doesn't do anything to further their agenda to lead them towards glory, towards that feeling of victory. Do something hard every day just to keep in the practice. And this is kind of that example I said of Tony Robbins. He does that. But I think the idea here is that there are things that you really should look at and get through first. We avoid the difficult things. We avoid the things that we don't want to do. We avoid, like I used to avoid anything financial related. I'm not a money guy. I'm not good with numbers. Hey, there you go, self-talk, right? I say that. But I overcame that. And the way I overcame that was instead of avoiding my taxes or avoiding balancing my checkbook, these kind of things, I asked the question. Questions are brilliant because they can guide us. So I asked the question, if I were to balance my checkbook, how could I do it, get the job done quickly, and really enjoy the process? And I really fought with it. I wanted it. You have to ask yourself sincerely with emotion. I want to know the answers. I got to know, how can I get this done, do it quickly, and enjoy the process? And then finally, my brain, after a couple of days, came up with these scenarios where I could go to one of my happy places, you know, a cafe, bring my laptop, have one of my favorite drinks, put on headphones and listen to great music, put myself on a timer so I can clockwork get it out, and then afterwards have a cigar with a friend or something like that. But you come up with a scenario where by the time you're done with it, it actually becomes something pleasant, so I can look forward to it. That's going to be my coffee shop and cigar day. I'm going to go do my stuff. And so doing the hard thing is hard in your mind. And I say that because difficulty is really, and struggle is really what we perceive it to be. For example, if you all of a sudden find out that for your company to keep going during like COVID, you had to take a pay cut, 10% pay cut. Wow, that sounds horrible. Well, compare that to the guy who lost his job. Wow, that sounds horrible. And all of a sudden, the pay cut doesn't seem so bad. Well, how about the guy who lost his job, but he lost a leg in an accident? Well, that losing the job doesn't seem so bad. You know, you go on down the list. It's all perspective to one thing or another. So if you can live in daily gratitude for what you have and striving for greatness, you realize that most of the struggle is in our head. I think of guys, Jocko Willink comes to mind, or David Goggins, you know, where David Goggins has really mastered this thing about, you know, struggle is required for when you become good at it. He looks for it. Now, he's a little extreme, but he looks for the struggle. He looks for the conflict so he can realize that he's better than it, that he's ahead, and that glory comes every time he realizes he overcomes a challenge and he beat himself, he beat his tendencies. And so he lives in glory every day, and he's become to the point where he looks for it and he likes it. Now, here's the other side of the coin. When you start feeling too comfortable for too long, panic. And I mean that sincerely. If you should always be at the place where you're taking on a new goal that's going to test you a little bit. It's going to stretch you. It's going to take you to new places you haven't been before. It's going to bring you into circles of people at higher levels. Maybe you haven't hung out at that level before. You're going to feel inferior, that you don't belong there. Well, the truth is nobody belongs there. They're not born already with the skill sets, the knowledge, the confidence, everything else. Everybody has to grow into it, and you will too. You're just like them. You're just like anybody else. So embrace the struggle, embrace the growth, and know that at every time, that means, obviously, there are lots of times you're just going to enjoy the fruit of your labor. You're going to bask in the glory. You're just going to simply enjoy the fact that you're able to win. You're able to lean into the challenge, and you love that about yourself. But there's something where you love the fact that you're being stretched. Because once you're stretched to a new idea, you never retain the original size again. Now you're a bigger person. And so if you get to a place where you've just been comfortable for too long, you know, you've just been in that comfort zone, everything is great, you know, honestly, start freaking out. It's like, I'm not growing, I'm not being tested, because the escalator of life is always going down if we're not walking up against it. So balance that out, but keep in mind, if for too long you go, nah, it's been pretty good. I mean, even if it's just challenging your physical fitness, challenging your mind to new ideas, challenging yourself to learn a new skill, to grow at something you know, be challenged regularly. It's also the key to longevity, topic I may come up with again later. Pick your challenge or others will lay theirs on you. And obviously the most common application here is email. This is why the gurus and the experts and the uber successful people all say they don't check their email or their phone for the first hour in the morning, because that just means everybody else's agenda gets put on them. And if they get to it, it actually becomes addictive, because you feel like, hey, I'm accomplishing something. Look, hey, this guy's a problem. Here, I'll solve it for you. Here, I'll solve it for you. All you're doing is you're taking on other people's challenges and solving it for them. You should give your best energy for doing the thing you're called to do and making your mark in the world and creating your legacy. And then you can go to the email and help solve other people's too. But you first. So pick your challenges, your priorities for the day, or others will lay theirs on you. Schedule your day to have the one you want and that you'd be glad you lived. So prioritizing and daily scheduling isn't a prison. It's not an obligation. It's not something that traps you. It's actually you deciding the day you'd like to have before others decide for you. Now, this is an interesting one. I had this thought just before originally doing this talk. It just came to me. And I'm thinking about how to actually make this into something a little more literal than this idea. But the idea came is like, can you make your greatest treasure that to be your personal library of stories of the fears and pains that you fought through and defeated? In other words, list them. In ancient times, they talk about the stone markers of families, and what that meant is the boundaries. So like, say, 6,000-7,000 years BC, the way they would keep property lines is they would have stone markers on different places that represented where the guy's property outlined. And in addition to that, they would use stones as memorial markers. And what this would be is each person in the family, when the family overcame something. Either they finally broke through with a good success, they could build a house, or they overcame a sickness, or they overcame an attack. Whatever the case may be, when they had something to be grateful for, they would take large stones and build really an altar. It was just if somebody's walking by, it would look like a pile of stones in a square. But that was done intentionally so that every time they would come that way and walk by it, they'd be grateful and remember good things have happened to them before, and that's the way that you want to remember that life is good and I have a series of blessings, a series of things that have happened to me that have worked out for my good. I heard this quote recently that said, you know, to this point in time, you have successfully survived every challenge that's come to your life. And so you think about it, that's true. You're alive today. You have successfully survived everything that's ever come to you. But I think there's a point of gratitude. And it would be great to one by one go through the different fears or pains or difficulties that you had to fight through to overcome, and you defeated them and you won them. Because then they'll never have the poison on you again. It's like, I already beat that one. And so the more of those you have, that's something that you treasure, becomes powerful strength for you as a man to be able to realize this. David, the one later became King David, when he was also the David of David and Goliath, right? The story of David and Goliath. So, but he was originally just a shepherd boy. Well, he wasn't just a shepherd boy. It's not an easy task in the old days prior to cell phones and 911 or guns. And there was one time when Goliath was threatening the camp, and he pleaded with the king to let him go fight him. And he's a kid. What was he going to do, fight this, you know, 7-foot giant? And so finally he convinced him, he goes, no, I'm just not a shepherd boy. You understand, when I'm out there in the wild on my own, I successfully defeated and killed a lion myself with a knife. I successfully killed a bear. This guy ain't nothing compared to either one of those, you know? And so there's a sense of where you can take inventory. You know what? I overcame this before. I got this degree. I started this business. I overcame a bad economy. I overcame a bad relationship. And the more of those you keep inventory, you realize, you know what? Then this isn't that bad. I'm going to do this one too. So do that. Keep in mind that you have overcome before and you are stronger than you think. Once you've faced a fear and done what you know is required, that fear is going to know that you've defeated it. It's not going to haunt you anymore. It's like, I've already conquered you before. You don't threaten me. But that's not the way it felt before you conquered it. It always has bigger fangs. It's larger than life. It's a dragon. You know, and the dragons are the things that are the inside of you that you have to overcome, you have to defeat. And so what are those dragons? And they're always big, tooth-bearing, fire-breathing, they're going to devour you. Fears built in your mind until you've defeated it. Then it's like, I beat this before. I can beat another one. So one by one, realize that. I'm trying to help give you the mental ammunition that as you come up with a fear inside of you to realize, lean into the fear, meaning that go towards it, press towards it to beat it, to defeat it, to get past it, to feel it, to finally get to that place where you have victory. And then you're done. You're good. You did it. You know, that one will never have the power over your life again that it did before. Because once you've beaten it, you realize I beat it before. I can beat it again. So as quickly as you can, when a fear comes up, say, I am determined. I want to get on the other side of this. One of the quotes we had here under mindset was that one is like when you feel a fear coming up, that's the one you go after. You know, and so tackle it. Don't hesitate. If you ever dreamed of retirement, I'm going to tell you about this one. Please question that dream. Dream of greatness and wisdom and legacy instead, and never stop. And, you know, if I were to ask you the statistic, everybody seems to know this universally because the test has been done since the 50s. And this information is very publicly known and has been reinforced. And I can tell you from personal testimony of people I know that fit this. If I ask you the question, on average, how many years does somebody live after they retire? The answer is 3.5. Statistically, once somebody's retired, the average death rate becomes 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? You work all of your life to get to this place where you have money, you can sit on a porch and just, you know, sip a beer and enjoy the calm, good life after all your thing, and you got 3.5 years. It's horrible. And part of that is the psychology of the fact that once you start telling your mind and your body, we have done all there is on this earth to contribute, we've done all the good, now it's our turn, there's no more for us to contribute of value. We're done. We have no more value here. Your body goes, all right, well, then let's check out. You know, you don't realize it's that way, but the futility in the heart of a man cannot be underestimated. I know of two sides of this. I had a neighbor when I lived in Paradise, California, lived next door to us, and this guy was great. 65, he finally got his house, he's retired, he's gardening every day, he's just sitting there on the porch and just gets up, pokes at the dirt, pokes at the things, and sits on his porch, and sure enough, it was exactly statistically 3.5 years, and he died. You know, and I feel bad. This guy had worked all his life, and here he finally had it. He had his house in Paradise in the back of a creek, in the backyard, and that was it. And it's going like, you know, life is more than that. So dream of greatness, dream of wisdom you can pass on and mentor others, dream of legacy, things you build to leave, and never stop. This is why you have people like George Burns, who, you know, smokes cigars every day and drank whiskey every day, lives to 102. Why? Because he loved his life. There's two reasons for longevity. I mean, aside from just generally the good should take care of your health in general. But you love your life, your body says, let's keep this going. Or if you have a reason, you have a purpose, you have something we have to do, we're not done yet. And you put challenge on yourself. Struggle can actually lengthen your life and make you feel glorious in the process. Challenge and put struggle on your body and make it fail. Make it fail in working out. Challenge it so you have to keep going to another goal. And it'll go, wow, we weren't ready. Okay, we'll rebuild. We'll be there next time. Your body is doing this. It's trying to catch up and be ready for the next challenge. Struggle actually keeps you alive. And it gives you a sense of victory and glory that you overcame. Never get out of struggle any time in your life. Be growing to new things. Mentoring new people. Trying to achieve greatness that is destined on you. Because we need you to. It's your calling. So at the end of this one, I want to read a poem you guys all know. In fact, I'd really encourage you to memorize this one. And in the video here at the bottom, you can download this yourself. And please write me and email me when you have memorized this, just to let me know, because I really think this is a fantastic one. This is, again, over 100 years ago. I think it was 1914 when Theodore Roosevelt wrote these words. It's not the critic who counts, nor the man who could point out how the strong man stumbled, or the doer of good deeds, he could have done them better. No, the credit belongs to that man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, is going to come up short again and again, because there's no effort without error or shortcomings, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, great devotion, who spends himself on a worthy cause, and at best, he knows in the end the triumph of high achievement. Or who at the worst, if he fails, at least he failed daring greatly so that his place will never be among those cold and timid souls who will neither know victory or defeat. Be in the arena. Be always in action. One of the phrases that I have when I picture this idea of being in the arena and that idea of the blood and sweat, you know, on you, is the image of the guy from, if you've seen the movie Black Hawk Down, at the very end, they got out, they survived, so they had some casualties along the way, but they're coming to that U.S. military encampment, they feel like we're safe. And coming up there at the end was a ranger, and what does he do? He's coming up with the guys, but they're all taking their gear off, they're getting ready to have a drink, they're suiting down, and he goes and grabs some more grenades, puts them on his belt, he grabs some more bullet clips, pops them in, puts those on his belt. They're like, what are you doing? He goes, I got a couple brothers still in there. We never leave a man behind. And he turns around and starts walking. And the guys are like, why do you do this? You don't need to. And he goes, the whole reason for doing this is the guy next to you. And he keeps going. And I love that picture. It's like glory is the higher thing. Loyalty, dedication, honor, strength all come into that picture. You know, you picture a scene like out of a battle where you know, you're here in the encampment and over the hill come some of the soldiers coming back in the encampment. And you got a couple of the guys who've been sitting back there sort of watching going like, oh my gosh, the battle is crazy. You should see what they're doing over there. And you got a couple more guys who come over and they're covered in blood and they're sweaty and they got dirt. And they lay their weapon on the table, wipe the blood off and say, I need another weapon. Give me this, you know, and it's like the difference between the guy who actually engaged in it and who didn't, there's night and day. People can smell it. There's a huge difference between the guy who's sitting there just planning on his computer to do something and the guy who's actually in the process of doing the startup. And even if he hasn't been funded, if you know he's having the meetings, he's pitching the deal, he's in the middle of it, he's putting himself out there to get it done, and he's telling you his story, it's from pain, it's from struggle, it's from dedication, commitment, I will do this. The guy's just keyboarding like this, maybe, maybe not. So just always be that man in the arena. Always be there, not for anybody else, but for you, because you're a man of action. And because struggle is a key part of our masculine journey. And through our journey of life, we will never abandon it. Because in our struggle, we achieve glory, we overcome, we do better for others, we do better for ourselves, better for mankind. And in it births our legacy and the thing we're remembered for. No statues built for the guy on the couch. But you will be remembered for what you did. And trust me, I don't want to hear anybody's story if they can't tell me the struggle they had to get to where they are. Thanks, brothers. Okay, let's go on to the next one.